3111.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the 311 radio show. You know, it's another Sunday, actually the first Sunday in the month of November here on VOB 92.9. And I am your host, Fire and Life Safety Officer Jason Collins. This afternoon I have a special guest with me. Last week we had some recruits from the Barbados Fire Academy. And for those of you who will be watching it on the Facebook page a little later, you will see behind me the Arch Hall drill tower, as they call it. And I have here, we speak about drill and tower and training. We have a lady from the training division, the Barbados Fire Academy. We have Fire Officer Leticia Hunt. Good afternoon to you, Leticia.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon, Barbados.
Yeah, and you are no stranger to our program. In fact, you had your days when you were a part of the fire prevention unit as you were a part of this program and that kind of stuff. So you're no stranger at all. You don't grace us with your presence very often, but it is always it is always good when you know, we have your presence or anyone from the academy or any part of the fire service. And even for those outsiders who are not in the fire service but who have raised the program to make the program what it continues to be. So last week, as I said, we spoke to some of your recruits. You know, you're one of the recruiting officers for this particular cohort of recruits. Yeah. And we had a word with quite an interesting dialogue last week between myself and about, I think there were five of your recruits. We had two boys, Hollingsworth and Patrick, and I'm a little embarrassed. I cannot remember all of the names of the young ladies. I remember there was a Thomas Tate, for sure, Tate, Carrer, and Marshall. Yes, yeah. Marshall, the small one, right? I got it right. I got that one right. Yeah, I got it. I'm very aware of that part. That was made abundantly clear for sure. So we, you know, last week we ended the month of October with the recruits, and we started the month of November, this being the first Sunday of the month of November, our month of independence and celebrations and republicanism and all of those good stuff. Are we going to start this month with the instructor? We would have liked to say the word instructors, but one available instructor today, you. So we're going to start by, you know, giving you some, going through some of, we heard it from their side and want to hear a little bit from your perspective. Only a few years ago, I think what you're doing, 5 years now, you're about?
In February, it'll be 5 years.
Right. So you just under, you could say just under 5 years around the corner. So I would say only a few years ago, you were in that position. I know you're in Correct. A different position, a different capacity, and it is very interesting to hear. It would be very interesting to hear your thoughts from the different perspective. You know, you're now on the other side of the fence, so to speak. But yes. I know obviously this is your first recruiting batch. This is the first batch you would have been involved in yes. as a recruiting officer, right?
Yes,
please. Right. So I can't ask you basically, like, whatever, to ask how, you know, how long you've been doing it, so, because this obviously is your first time in such a capacity. But the experience so far, I mean, it is obviously a first, it's something new, it's something that you would not have done before. You would have worked in fire prevention, you would have subsequently gone on to the Barbados Fire Academy or Arch Hall, and you are now in this particular capacity as a recruiting officer. How has that experience been for you, Han?
Okay, so I would have joined the academy last year in July. So I'm just doing over a year in the academy itself. I was exposed to doing lecturing from fire prevention when we go out and do our fire drills and stuff like that. So then that just expanded as I got into the academy, where we did more focused topics to external organizations. So by the time we got into recruiting, I had a little bit of confidence. I did some training with the in-house fire officers and external companies. So the extent of just delivering information, doing lectures, that came easy. The challenging part was managing like 20 personalities at one time. You have 20 persons under your care to one instructor at a time. Sometimes you will have two instructors. On a good day, you will have all the instructors there, but sometimes it's just you and 20 recruits. So you have to tend to each specific need of these 20 persons. and you want to make sure that you don't leave anyone at the wayside, because you know it's a very challenging experience, a very challenging experience knowing that they're in there for 6 months straight, not getting to go home and stuff like that. So you want to make sure that everything is well with each and every one of them. The teaching is easy. It's just having to manage those 20 persons. But after a while, you catch your rhythm. You know when to do what, and it became easier.
Well, you said a number of things there, and it's quite interesting to hear you say the teaching is easy, because I know you spoke to the fact that you worked in fire prevention and going and doing presentations and drills and so on, help build your confidence. That is why it was a little, I chuckled to myself when you said that the presentation part, the presenting part, teaching is quite easy. Because I remember when you first joined the fire prevention unit, you were really shy, you know. You couldn't get Hunt to say three words sometimes in the office, far less publicly. And correct. I have seen over the few years that we have worked together and so on, that development where you have now become that person who has the voice of authority when you speak, you know, and it shows development, personal development, and the way that you have developed not only from the fire prevention side, but even now as into the recruiting officer side, where you are now actually what I consider to be a very serious role in terms of putting officers out there who are going to be in the public domain, who are going to, what you teach is basically what they're going to be relying on heavily to carry them through the years in the department. And you actually went on to what would have been my next question. What are some of the challenges that you said one of the challenges you encountered would have been dealing with the different personalities. And, you know, anyone who's done any form of teaching or managing a number of persons at any given time would always say that is a challenge that you have to somehow learn to cope with in terms of different personalities, whether you're a shift leader, whether you could take it back to school, whether you are a Cub Scout leader, Brownie leader, whatever you are, any sort of leadership or a role where you have to take care of a number of charges, it always requires you to deal with the differences in personalities. And for some people, that can be a challenge. So I understand you clearly when you said that is one of the challenges that you have faced. Any other challenges or any other things that you found about it that are a little bit, you know,
challenges again. Now remember, fire officers work 24 hours. So we too as instructors work 24 hours. And if someone comes to you at 3 o'clock in the morning, you may have a long day and tell you that they're not feeling well and they need to go to the doctor, you have to get up, prepare yourself mentally to go and get them tend to. So that could be taxing on the body. So you have to be able to manage your time, realizing that rest is important, but you have to manage your time. When you could get the rest, because remember, you have 20 persons to take care of. You, if somebody comes to you, tell you that they're not feeling well, you can't just say, wait till tomorrow. Sometimes it may be a case where you can monitor the situation because, you know, we have the ambulance service next to us. But if
along with the fact that you have a few in-house EMTs correct. Within the Barbados Fire Service as well and on the recruiting program.
That is correct. If they advise that you go to, for example, the hospital, then you have to get up and go. And, you know, sometimes driving could be a little taxing, you up and down the entire day. They still have their business to conduct and you have to make provisions for that. So that could be a little taxing, plus doing the drills on the square for the whole day. What I found was so interesting that really stood out was watching them go from civilians to that paramilitary mindset. And to see that you were a part of their development is a really, really good feeling. Like you saw when they first come through the door and where they are today and potentially where they will be is the best feeling. I have goosebumps right now speaking about it. It's a good feeling. And I am sure when you were one of the officers recruiting me, you watched us the same way. So you know that feeling I'm talking about.
Yeah, although I was not full time like you guys are, some most of you, I did have a hand in your recruiting and that batch in particular. And as you say, that when you see that transition, and even before that, as I would have worked a number of years with the Fire Cadet Program, and seeing some of the youngsters come in, and then you see what they have developed. So we had the cadets on a few months ago, and so on. So that development, when you see them develop from that shy, even to see like yourself, because I, as I said, when you joined the unit, I remember you hardly spoke, you know, even in the office among us, far less among, you know, in front of any persons. I know we would go to drills, and you would always be very shy. Even you, I have seen that personal development, you know, and as you say, it's a very good feeling when you know you've had a hand in that person's development. So I get you completely. And I did pick up last week when I was speaking to the recruits, that transition, the mindset, because what stood out for me was that their mental toughness, the way that they have used the fact that they're 6 months straight, no going home on weekends or anything like that. And they have used it as a motivational tool rather than see it as a deterrent to push themselves. As I think Recruit Patrick said, home stretch. That's the word he used. And he said, pun intended, when he said home. And, you know, I found that to be nice that, you know, the recruits have this way of keeping themselves motivated. They seem to be a close-knit unit from what the responses were and so on. And it shows that the No Iron team and the team building kind of, because that's what happens when you're recruiting. You're usually put in a position where you're taught, if you're not aware already, about team building. Everything is a team. There's no I in team, as they always say. And that came out in speaking to them last week. And to hear you say, you know, that development from civilian life into you know, the paramilitary shows that some sort of learning has taken place and that you guys are obviously doing a tremendous job. I know it is a very physically and mentally taxing job to be an instructor and to be a recruiting officer and that kind of stuff. And it brings me to my next thing. I was about to ask you, has your role had an impact on your personal life? And if so, in what ways? Because I know in a previous interview, those listeners who keep track would know that you are your mother as well. And we did speak to the fact, I think it was the Mother's Day recording we did, when we spoke to the fact that as a mother and a fire officer, when you have to spend time away from your little one and so on, you know, it can be a little emotional and that kind of stuff. And obviously, as a recruiting officer as well, that also takes a lot of time, because I know, as you said, sometimes you guys spend 24 hours on the compound and so on. So that takes a little toll and a little time away from, well, not a little, but quite a bit of time away from your family and your immediate life. So how has your role in this capacity impacted your personal life, and in what ways?
Okay, so of course it did impact my life. I am away from home more than before. So when I first joined the unit, we would work the regular unit times, which would be 8:30 to 4:30. But now sometimes you're at work every day for long hours. And what I had to do, like I said in the previous interview, I had to find a way to balance my time, because it's a necessity for me to be a part of my son's life and his development. And it will not make me feel good to know that I am helping others develop and I'm not helping him develop. Like, he's now in primary school, so now he's doing actual work. So on evenings, if it means that when I come home, say I work the entire 24 hours and I come home the next day, I make time to make sure I help with his development, go through the work. I have a whole setup at home that goes towards his development at school. Then his physical development, he's in football, so sometimes we go outside and play football. There are times when I feel as though, well, I'm praying that he doesn't forget my presence. I feel as though I spend too much time away. So I try to call him as much as possible when I'm not there. I try to check in as much as possible, just to let him know that, yes, mommy's busy at the moment, but she's still here. Yeah. And obviously for the significant other, you have to make that time as well. So
all right.
As much as possible, I will make that time. And there is some sort of understanding about my job and the role I'm playing, so it's not that difficult. But yes, it takes away from my personal luxurious time to give back.
Yeah, understood. And I, you know, you did speak about your significant other as well, because, you know, sometimes it is very important that you have that person who's your significant other has, you know, understands. You need that family support. You need the entire, all the cogs in the wheel to turn in order to make it happen, because it can be very challenging. It can be mentally taxing and physically, and it's always good to have that support system, as you clearly mentioned just now. Go ahead. Sorry.
When the same recruiting environment, you see, persons come to their breaking point.
Correct.
You see tears shed, and it tugs at that soft spot in you. And sometimes you have to draw the line, because you have a job here to do. So sometimes you will want to feel for someone, but that was just a moment to help them get to the next level. So
Correct. You
as a person may be very, very kind-hearted, but in the recruiting environment, yes, you are kind, you're respectful and all of these good things, but you have to know that be calm before the storm. The person is getting to the next level. So sometimes that may happen and you just let it run its course. And the saying of a strong man cries is true, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, if you ask anybody, I think I mentioned it already the last time we had Hunt here, anytime you ask Hunt, how is the little one doing? Oh, he misses me. So I know that you always miss him for sure. And, you know, you want to spend time with someone. But it is good to see that you have obviously created that work-life balance, because I know you're also into your fitness fairly intently as well. And I know that it takes some time away from that aspect of your life as well. So, you know, it is good to see that you obviously have been juggling very well. And so far, so good. I just hope that you continue to keep up that good work that you've been doing so far.
Thank you.
Another question that would... see how much good work you've been doing. How would you say the recruits have responded to the training so far?
Initially, they had a lot of questions because, you know, the job is mentally taxing, it's physically taxing. So there were times that you had to adjust to them, but still getting the task done, the job done. So after a while, they start to get the hang of it, because reality is this is a civilian you're dealing with in the beginning. So now you have to change their minds from that mindset of resting all the time, in terms of, you know, you would lay down and watch television.
Correct.
And have leisure.
Less downtime. Less
yes.
downtime.
You
yes.
don't you don't really have persons telling you what to do, because at the end of the day, just because they're recruits, they're adults too. So you normally leave and go as you please, get up and clean your house when you're ready. But here we have set times to do certain things. So you get up, do your fatigues, then you would do PT. You have persons giving you what we call orders, directions on when to do something and what to do. So there are persons that had to adjust to that, and they're adjusting, I can say. So I find that they're responding quite well. There are times that some things may be challenging and they would just stand up in front of you and you would see the ice turning red because they're becoming emotional. But after a while, you speak to them, give them tips, because they do come for some advice, and you give them tips and directions, and then it becomes manageable.
Yes. And I would say that based on my conversation with some of them last week, I could say that I feel as though, yes, they have taken in that training and that transition from civilian life pretty well so far, because the way that they speak said something to me that obviously they're going through that transition fairly well.
Correct. And learning is taking place, because from the time we did the theory in the classroom, you can see that they have a grasp of it, because when we get out on the square doing the skills and stuff, they're not only able to regurgitate, but they're going to apply what they were taught in the classroom to these said skills. So you know that they're adjusting and they have some sort of understanding so far.
Right.
Which is really good.
Yeah, well, that's good. And it speaks volumes of what you and the other instructors are doing at the Barbados Fire Academy. As I said, I do know it is not an easy task. Your colleague Your colleague, Mr. Sobers, Kevin Sobers, I remember one afternoon he was down here at the fire prevention, and he called his mother or something to that effect, and it was probably like a week that she had not seen him per se, you know.
Oh.
So it does really show how this recruiting and that kind of stuff, sometimes the job can take away from your family and personal life and so on, quite a bit. Quite a bit. So I do completely understand. In terms of, and we spoke a little earlier, because you said earlier that we don't have a lot of time, just about 7 minutes or so, but we're going to just touch on a few more things before we go. Time really flies when you're having fun at this. But, you know, earlier you spoke to the fact that you gained some confidence by doing a lot of presentations. You started with presenting to your fellow fire officers, and then you would have done some presentations and some teaching to some of the business places that you guys teach and so on a day-to-day basis. What would you say that being a recruiting instructor, how would you say being a recruiting instructor differs from conducting your either in-house, when I say in-house, I'm talking about training where you train your fellow officers, or your training of external clients, which would be business places. How would you say the recruiting process in terms of training the recruits differs, if at all, from training your in-house fire officers or your external customer being your business places?
When you're training a recruit, you're bringing them from nothing, basically. So you're bringing them from scratch and transitioning them. When you're teaching in-house the fire officers, then it's easier. You don't have to break down every single thing. Yes, you may be introducing something, but they already have the concept in mind. They already have a level of understanding. So it's much easier to teach a fire officer. And when you teach a fire officer, you get examples of what they go through when they go in the public, experiences. So it helps in developing your courses in the future. So you, while you're giving, you're taking at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yes, I think I understand what you're trying to say, because
so, better any courses you have upcoming. With right. The recruits now, you would gain, well, this is my first recruiting batch, so I would have gained some knowledge and new ways to do things for the upcoming batches. So you learn how to take these persons from basically nothing to something, meaning a fire officer, and you also develop yourself, because now in order to deliver that information in such a basic way, you have to really understand what you're teaching. So it keeps you on top your game, and you develop yourself in the process as well.
Right. So basically what you're saying, and this happens not only in recruiting, but obviously even when you're teaching civilians and teaching your in-house fire officers, it's correct. Kind of a refresher for you, because you're to disseminate that information correctly, you have to know it, you have to be able to explain it. So then it's kind correct. Of a, it has more positive basically for you than negatives.
Yes.
So
I
miss you what you were saying.
With that, you can send somebody from fire prevention to go and give their building a inspection because of things that they said. They would not know certain things, and then you would provide the service for them to gain the knowledge, the extra knowledge that's out of our quote unquote scope.
Okay. So as an instructor, and this is kind of tying into the last question and your last explanation. So as an instructor, does it have an impact on your personal firefighting duties? Because I know, you know, some persons understand it, other persons don't. Some persons understand how being in a unit, as we say, helps you on that fire ground. What would you say that being one of the recruiting officers has done? How has it impacted your firefighting, your personal firefighting duties? Like, if you had to get on the fire truck now to respond, would you say it has impacted you in a positive, in a negative way? If you want to explain, just in a few minutes that we have left.
Definitely positively. Like, I feel as though I gained so much knowledge every time I hear a standby, because we can hear the standbys from the office. Every time we hear the standby, you could ask anyone, I am ready to go.
As always with the case, even in fire prevention, you were always ready. Yes, that is a fact.
I am ready to go. So And it's interesting that when you go on scenes, it's always so welcoming. Your input is always welcoming. So having the knowledge and you could give information is always welcoming. In terms of firefighting is in its entirety, when you go to scenes, you can see things that you can improve on for the department as a whole. So we would use the information that we gather, because sometimes we will go to observe, and we will use the information that we gather to help develop courses in house. When I go to scenes, I have a better understanding. Like, you know, when you're in recruiting, some things you really understand when you pass off the square, what we call passing off the square, leaving the recruiting environment. We only understand things as we go on with experience. But now that I am going over these topics, finding the trends in the environment right now or in the public right now, they're gaining more knowledge. So that has a positive impact on my firefighting, because when I turn up to certain scenes, I will have an understanding of what to do and what not to do, what to look out for and stay on my guard, situational awareness.
Yes, well, that's very well said. I could quite agree with you, because even from my perspective in the fire prevention unit, I've noticed that there's certain things that you pick up on. There's your knowledge in terms of, it is not just the knowledge of how to operate while you're on the appliance or the fire truck, as the civilian would say, but how to, you kind of could, you have a better, as you say, awareness. Your awareness is a lot deeper now, because you have not only the firefighting skills, but you understand it from another perspective, another angle, sometimes in terms of even knowing the layout of the particular building and that kind of stuff, and the kind of things to look for. Because when you do inspections and so on, you have to go to these business places and you see some things that you know that you would know to be aware of because of your experience in the inspections. Well,
Hunt, we are, for the average fire officer, you may not go to a lot of incidents. There may be years that you will not experience an accident, but because we're an instructor, we have to help develop our skills and develop our knowledge, we will go to incidents. So it's an opportunity to go to more incidents and gain more knowledge. That much I can say, yes.
Well, I know there's so much more to be said. You have so much time that we would love to have carry on this conversation. Which says to me, hit, we may have to bring you back for your part two of the life of fire officer Leticia Hutt. But I want to say a big thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us for the program today to open up the month of November for this 311 radio show. For those of you who missed any of today's recording, you can always listen to the podcast on the VOB's podcast, www.vob929.com, or you can watch on the Facebook page when they post it on VOB's Facebook page, VOB92.9 FM, VOB92.9 FM, for any of the program that you miss. I have been your host, Fire and Life Safety Officer Jason Collins, and I had with me this afternoon Fire Officer Leticia Hunt from the Barbados Fire Academy. Thank you, Hunt, for your time, your knowledge, and all of that information that you disseminated here this afternoon.
Thank you, and have a great weekend, Barbados. A great week, Barbados.
Yes, Hunt, the weekend is over. It's back to work tomorrow for you. Well, I will be going on vacation. I definitely will be looking forward to that as well. But for those of you who have to go to work, you enjoy the rest of your week. For those of you who are not working, have a wonderful week as well. Thank you, Hunt. Thank you, Barbados. And as we always say at the end of every 311 radio show, fire prevention
is
our intention. Thank you and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Depend on the Barbados Fire Service 311.